For NPR Illinois, I'm Mary Hansen. Mounting pension debt, persistent cash flow issues, and political gridlock, Illinois has a lot of problems. But it wasn't always this way. In a recent article for the magazine Governing, Daniel Vaak examines how the state got here. I talked with him about the article, starting with the title question, Who Ruined Illinois?
From what our research was looking at, the biggest factor in the downward trend in Illinois' finances and public confidence appeared to be the governor's. We didn't single out any one. If you start back with George Ryan, who went to jail, and Rod Blagojevich, who went to jail, I mean, that set a pretty low expectation for Illinoisans of their governors. And even, you know, with governors after that, they don't seem to have gathered the public confidence in the legislative achievements that I think Illinoisans have been hoping for.
So the public confidence sounds like it has been a big factor in this. Can you talk about some of the other ways that these governors have kind of hobbled the state?
Another sort of recurring theme in Illinois is the temporary fix. You get us to the next election. So obviously the income tax hike that Pat Quinn pushed for expired after 4 years, which meant that it expired right as his term ended, and then Governor Rauner and the Democrats who controlled the legislature had to figure that problem out on top of all their sort of philosophical disagreements.
A constant refrain from the Rauner administration has been, but what about Mike Madigan, the longtime House Speaker? You know, he's been in power for so long. Doesn't he have some sort of role in this dysfunction? But you write that the Madigan theory has a lot of holes in it. Can you tell us about those?
There's no denying that Mike Madigan is extremely powerful, and I don't want to undercut that. But the question is it that he's so powerful or that people don't know how to use their power, especially governors, to work either with him or around him? And Mike Madigan is not elected statewide. He's elected from one state house district in Chicago. The governor comes with a big mandate when he's elected and can use that. If the governor can convince Illinoisans that something needs to happen, then there's not a whole ton that the speaker can do if he still wants to hold on to his power.
As some might point out, Illinois has had problems long before the 20 years ago that you focus on. But what's been significant about the last two decades?
Illinois was a state typical of a Midwestern industrial state. Yes, there were problems, but they weren't so insurmountable. Nobody sort of looked at Illinois and said, oh my God, the way that they do now. Beginning with George Ryan, it wasn't him actually going to jail, but it became apparent that he was the target of this investigation. That really sort of undercut all the public confidence in not just the governor, but the legislature, and that the government was really going to serve them. And, you know, then it was hit with two recessions. So if you look at the change and sort of the direction, that's when bond rating started being decreased. That's when, you know, the pension deficit ballooned after that. I think there was a real change beginning in the late 90s or maybe around 2000.
You talked with Governor Jim Edgar, who held office in the 1990s. What were his suggestions for how to get Illinois out of this mess?
One thing he said that strikes me is that good government is boring. And so a lot of what's going to have to happen is going to be the boring stuff in budgets, in, you know, how you dedicate any new revenue. Whatever the solution is, it's going to be sort of slow, methodical. It won't be taken care of, I think, in a single gubernatorial term. It may take multiple governors, but it's going to have to be a chipping away.